Barbaries, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Supporting scripture, Matthew 9:36-38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. On the basis of those verses this morning, we'd like to speak from the thought, the church has a shortage of real servants. Amen. The church has a shortage of real servants. For there's no other name I know that has such power as the name of Jesus. And I thank God for the choir this morning. They're short in number, but not in spirit. Hallelujah. They're short in number, but not in power. Because Jesus said, where two or three gather, touching and agreeing, that he will be in the midst. And how many of you know you can't wait on your neighbor to get your blessing? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You waiting on somebody that might not show up, you better thank God for what you got and what the Lord is doing for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We ought to all have a mind to tell God thank you. It's not an accident this morning that we are here. And out of all the things that are going on in the world, there's no better place that I'd rather be than in the presence of the Almighty God. And I've made sure to say in the presence of God, because sometimes we like to say no better place to be than in the church. But sometimes you can be in the church and you still don't be where you need to be. The church is just the building, but we got to have the right spirit down on the inside. And how many of you know that you can have that spirit even at your own house? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you serve God at your house, all of us are not here. The organist is not there. The guitar player is not there. But Jesus, the one that promised you never to leave you nor to forsake you, he's there when you lay down at night, and he's there when you get up in the morning. And I thank God he got angels that watch over me while I slumber and while I sleep. Somebody laid down last night, didn't get up this morning. But by the grace and the mercies of God, we got up this morning. Got up and been about our Father's business. Come to this place, assembled together once again for the mere purpose of giving God thanks. We come to praise and magnify the name of a mighty God. And we know that it's not because of any of our merits or that we are just that special. Then again, it may be that we are that special because he has allowed us to still be counted amongst the living. Hallelujah. I thank God, and I love to hear Sister Kat sing that morning train. Because that morning train did ride this morning. It's a blessing that we wasn't on board. And then again, it could have been a blessing to be on board. Because when we go to be with the Lord, no more worried about the things of this former life.
You know, in the life that we are living, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, or we'll admit it or not, there are times that we worry about tomorrow. Jesus, the day David said in the Word of God, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And even though God has blessed us today, some of us are worried about tomorrow. I think that we will live a happier life if we could just take it one day at a time. We've heard that for a mighty long time, take it one day at a time. But it seems like before we can finish the day out, we are already concerned about what we got to do on tomorrow and how we're going to pull things together. But I thank God for the strength of another day. Hallelujah. Lord, you gave me the strength of another day. For the strength that I had on yesterday, it's already gone. There were things that I wanted to do yesterday, and some of those things I got an opportunity to do, and there were some things that I wanted to do that I didn't get to do yesterday. But I thank God that today God has given me another opportunity. Now, how many of you know that just because you got another day's journey, that don't mean you're going to take care of what you didn't do yesterday? We have a mind of procrastinating. We say what we're going to do, and we continue to put it back on the back burner. But when it comes to serving a mighty God, I found out that we can't take it lightly. We got to thank God for every opportunity that we get to declare his goodness. You know, we say it and it sounds good when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. My soul cries out hallelujah. And every one of us ought to be at a place in our lives where we can make that statement with conviction and mean it from the depths of our heart, because God has been good to all of us. I don't care how many problems you got or how many times things just didn't go your way. God has been good to all of us. And what the songwriter was saying, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I know God's been good to me, but every now and again, when I think about it, and how many of you know you don't have to be in the church house to think about it? Sometimes you can just be sitting there on your sofa watching the television and all of a sudden it just run across your mind. I'm so glad that I'm alive. Anybody ever felt like that? You see something on the television and all of a sudden you see that you are full and you see somebody that's hungry on television. And you begin to thank God, Lord, I thank you that I got food on my table. It's not hard to find a blessing. You don't think that there's a blessing in store for you. Look around in your house. Everything you see is a blessing. It might be raggedy and tore up, but it's a blessing. Somebody don't have a raggedy couch. Somebody sitting on the floor. I thank God for my raggedy couch. You pass by my house, the house about to fall down, but I thank God I got a house. We got to learn how to be thankful for what God has given us. We all worried about things that we can't do nothing about. God wants us to just come to the realization that it's not about you, it's not about me. It's all about him. There's a song, Charles, that says, as good as God has been to me, I can't afford not to praise his holy name. Oh, yeah, when we think of the goodness of Jesus, and when you think how good God has been to you, and then you're going to come to the house of God and sit down on him, God forbid. I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning that has some things that are going on in your life that you know that you need divine intervention? You don't need me to come by there. You don't need your cousin to come by there, but you need the Lord's power. That there's something that mom and daddy can't do for you. There's some things that only God can do for you. And you can pray and ask God for some things, and they may not come when you want them, but God said that there's something that only come by prayer and fasting. So every now and then, you got to push back from the table. You got to give up on some things in order to get some of the things that you want out of life. I believe there's some believers in the house this morning. When you are a believer, sometimes believers suffer. Sometimes believers have to cry. Sometimes believers even began to worry. But as believers began to worry, the scripture began to go back into their hearts and in their mind, and you began to know, why do I worry about tomorrow when you promised me that you would take care of my every need? We don't serve a sometimey God. That person sitting by you might be a sometimey person. Every now and then they like you, but someday they act like they don't even know you. Anybody know any folk like that this morning? One day they're on your side, the next day they're on everybody's side. But here we are, members and friends, from the oldest to the youngest, every one of us makes up the body of Christ. Many members, but yet one body in Christ. Those of us that are part of the Fowl's Chapel family, which is referred to or called the church, we are governed by and in covenant by our church covenant. I thought this morning the church has a shortage of real servants. I come to talk to the church this morning. Those that are doing and those that are not doing. Because even those of us that think that we're doing all that we can do, how many of you know there's still some more we can do? If we are a member of a missionary Baptist church, we have a joint covenant together. And that covenant says, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant one with another as one body in Christ. So every one of us, every member in here, you are very important to the body of Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, sustain its worship, audiences, discipline, and doctrine, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. So let me tell you, your tithes and your offering, they are used for a whole lot of different things. You just don't give money just to give money. These are the things that you are giving your money to. Now, after you've given what God has blessed you to be able to give, we also engage to maintain family and secret devotion. Everything, not everybody's business. To religiously educate our children, train a child up in the way that he or she should go. And then when they get old, they won't stray from it. To seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. So when you know the good news, it is our responsibility to share that good news with somebody else. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the deacon to tell somebody that God is still alive and he will make a way out of no way. We got to walk circumspectly in the world, be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment. Oh, Jesus. I don't know whether y'all saw this or not, but our covenant says to avoid all tattling, backbiting. You can read it with me if you want to. Excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drink as a beverage, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. Our main purpose is coming together to help lift up the name of Jesus, to promote the kingdom of God, not to make Fowl's Chapel the greatest church in Lexington. We just another church on the corner. Not to push me up on a pedestal, and then when I get so high and then I begin to fall, you're not there to catch me. See, you got to understand, there comes a time when people will push you way up, but when you start tumbling down, there's nobody there to catch you. But how many of you know that if you stand on the solid rock of Jesus, you don't have to worry about falling down through the crack, because God got a net up under you that'll catch you when you fall. And if you fall all the way to the ground, God has a long extended arm of mercy. He'll reach down in the dirt of the ground, pick you up and turn you around, make everything all right. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, some more important stuff here. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy in speech. Don't talk to folk any kind of way. To be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. Mindful of the rules of our Savior, to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that if for some reason we remove ourselves from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with another church where we can carry out the same spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. That's what we, the members of the Fowl's Chapel Baptist Church, that's what we agreed that we would do. So my question is, why all the bickering? Why all the indifference? Why is it that we have to beg somebody to do something? I come to let you know that we need to have somebody that's going to do what God tells us to do. I come to tell you that the church has a shortage. We're talking about there's no jobs out there. There are plenty of jobs in here. You won't even show God you were working in his house. Why are you going to give you something out on the outside? This is not an entertainment station. This is not a place where you come just to be seen. This ought to be a place where you come to lift up your voice for Jesus. This ought to be a place where you ought to be able to declare that God is good. You ought to be able to tell somebody, yes, I love the Lord. I know the Lord brought me a mighty long way. As we look around here in our church, I want to know that we have some real service. It's a good thing to come in here and have a hallelujah good time. But we need to be more intent, more committed to the service and time that we give to God. In most churches, we know that there are the faithful few. And the faithful few tend to keep the church going. But we are blessed with a congregation of good people. We are blessed with some folk that some folk don't like you just because you come to Fowl's Chapel. Let me tell you something. Don't let it sweat you. You can go to any church house you want to go to. And wherever you go, the same God that we serve right here, that's who they're going to be serving over there. But what you got to understand is the church that you have down on the inside, when God made you an instrument of his, he put you here for a purpose. And every one of us got a job that we ought to be doing. We ought to contribute more to the ministry and to the nurturing of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to be trying to help somebody become a disciple. If you act like a disciple, then somebody you know will want to be a disciple. A disciple of Christ, even though you go through, know that you can't walk around with your head hung down all the time. Even though you might have trials and tribulation, you got to learn how to look up to the hills, knowing where your help comes from, knowing that the Lord will make a way out of no way. But now, Brother Paul, he wrote some things to the Philippians concerning Jesus as the example of being a servant. The Bible said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus disregarded his deity. He set aside his majestic status and took on the human form and went about not being served, but beginning to serve the people of God. And sometimes we, the people of God, feel like that we ought to be served. I thank God that we have come to a place in our ministry where we realize that it's not about us, but it's about what we can do, not only for ourselves, but for one another. That's what Paul's main intent was when he wrote this letter to the Philippians, was that I know that it's not easy to carry the bloodstained banner around the unbelievers, because the unbelievers always got something going on. But I want to know it. I want to feel in my heart that you have already got your mind made up that you're going to walk like a child of God. I want to know that you're going to love one another. I want to know that you're going to help one another. In other words, Paul said, we got to be unified. It's one thing to say together we stand and divided we fall, but how many of you mean together we stand? See, the thing is that when it's time to stand, don't come talking about your legs hurting. Don't come talking about those coins on your feet. Stand up in it, huh? We got folk that can't give God a good 2 hours. But for a paycheck, we'll give 8 hours. We'll give 12 hours. Some of us will work 16 hours. There's some folks so crazy, if you don't send them home, they'll stay there around the clock. But when we come to the house of God, it's always, what time we going to get out of church? We going to get out of benediction. God is looking for some servants. God needs somebody that's not going to be a lazy servant. We understand that we all make up the body of Christ. But look here what the word of God says. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You see, we can't get to where we are trying to go if we are all scattered. We can't get and reach our goal if one is pushing and the other one is pulling. We got to sit down and reason one with another and come to a place where we are working together. You see, when we work together, we can accomplish great things. The Bible said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, Paul was saying, instead of you always wanting to get the glory for yourself, look out for your brother and let your brother have a little glory. It's not all about you all the time. You ought to worry about what somebody else got sometime. If you got more than you need, you ought to find somebody that don't have anything. It's a shame to let things spoil in the refrigerator because you got more than what you need. And you got folk walking up and down the street that are hungry day after day. We got to learn how to look out for one another. The Bible said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we got to be considerate about things that are going on in somebody else's life. You're not the only one that got a problem. You're not the only one that's going through. You're not the only one that has lost your job. You got to understand there's somebody else out there that's going through. But if you join hands together, if you pray together and say, I know the Lord will make a way. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself a servant. A servant. The Most High God. The one that never sinned in his life. The one that we declare that went to Calvary's Hill and died for your sins and my sins. But don't you know, when we look in the word of God and it says in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. Jesus was already God when he came in the form of a man. But he came in the form of a man so he could experience what man has to go through. See, I thank God that God understands when I'm going through. He understands when my flesh is weak because he knows what it is to be in the flesh. He understands when there's pain in my body because he knew what it was to go through some pain and anguish. But one thing about the Lord that I love is that as he became a servant, what's one thing I love about being a servant of God? You forget about being up on your high horse and you come down and let somebody else know that I'm not too good to get out on my knees. I'm not too good to move a table over to the right or pick up a chair over on the left. Some of us get a little position in life and we feel like we're better than everybody else. But I thank God that if you live long enough, you'll find out that it's not all about you. There's one thing about being in the ministry, Reverend Gina, that lets you know that you are a servant. And I thank God for our servants. I thank God for spiritual growth. Because there was a time when the preachers thought that they were supposed to be served. And I remember an occasion when I said we need to serve the people. And one of them looked at me like, what you talking about? But I thank God that they lived long enough. They went through enough to find out what I was talking about. Just on yesterday, we were sitting there at the reception, and I finished eating all of my food. All of a sudden, I felt a touch on my shoulder. My right-hand man that was sitting across from me had come around the table and said, Pastor, do you want me to take your plate? He didn't realize what was going on in my mind. But in my mind, I said, he done learned how to be a servant. Because a servant don't mind doing something for somebody else. Don't never think that you are too high to jumble yourself down low to help somebody else that is going through. You got to understand that God wants you to open up your mind. God wants you this morning to realize that it's not about you. Wherefore, God have highly exalted himself and gave himself a name that above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Anybody know the Lord this morning? The Lord want to look for some servants. God wants somebody this morning that will say, for God I live and for God I die. I want to tell you there's something for all of us to do. If you think that there's not any work for you to do, all you got to do is just look out in the harvest. When you look out in the world, you'll find that there's so much sickness there. There's so much heartache out there. There are those that have lost their souls out there. But when I look out there, I need to feel like Jesus. Jesus said, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. But the Bible said that he said unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are so few. I pray therefore that God will send laborers down to the vineyard. And I'm down here right now. I'm working for the master now. And I'm looking for some servants this morning. I want some real servants that'll take on the form of a servant. Stop worrying about who you are and know who God is. For God I live and for God I'll die. I thank God this morning that God wants some real servants that'll serve him on Monday morning as well as on Sunday morning. A servant this morning that'll be with you on Friday night as well as on Wednesday night. I want a real servant that'll let go and let God. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll go for you. I want to be an instrument. I want to be used by the Lord our God. And every time I open up my mouth and I feel the presence of God, something down on the inside, just tell me to keep on moving, keep on going ahead. Because one day, if I be not weary in your well-doing, if you hold on and hold out, God said, he give you a crown of righteousness, and not to us only, but to all of you that are looking for his appearance. God want us to get rid of our shortage. We need some servants to get on board. Find you an auxiliary. Find you a ministry. If you don't want to work on no ministry, start praying a little bit harder. Especially for me. And you can work your way from the pulpit to the door. And I'm sure you can find somebody that you can talk to the Lord for. Don't forget about yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. As we go from day to day, let us be mindful that in this life, we are going to have trials and tribulations. In this life, every day is not going to be a sunny day. But there's going to be some times when you really got to go through. But when I think of this lesson this morning, talking about being unified, being together, loving one another. How many of you know that in our families, we don't see eye to eye all the time. We don't get along all the time. Sometimes there's a little bickering and a little fussing. But at the end of the day, we still family. Hallelujah, Jesus.